John 14 is the work of the Holy Ghost. He's going to do three specific things in your life. And that's verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That means if I need to know, I can depend upon him to teach me. I had someone say, well, you know, I'm a little slow mentally. I'm not dependent upon my ability to absorb my mental acumen. I'm dependent upon he who lives on the inside. He who has anointed me. He's the teacher. And I need to know every time I read this, but I don't understand. I just say, now, Holy Ghost, what does that mean? I may say it for days or weeks or months or sometimes even years. It seems like every few years I come to that same passage of Scripture and I think, I still don't know what that means. I don't know about you, but I have this concept that Paul wasn't giving us snatches of thoughts and concepts and ideas, but that most of the Scripture flows together and has a thread that's identifiable. You'll find that's generally true. And when I can't find the thread, I get distressed. But I go right back to this Scripture and I say now, you know, it's not all as easy as 1 John. 1 John, he tells you in about the third or fourth verse that he's going to talk to you about fellowship, talking about things that would interfere with fellowship, talking about refusal to walk in love, talking about things that would interfere with fellowship, talking about obey the commands, talking about things that would enhance fellowship. The whole entire book is about fellowship. He said so at the beginning of the book. But some books aren't that easy to absorb and figure out. It's like, what'd he say? Does anybody know anybody especially brilliant? Sometimes talking to our son about computers, I'm actually not talking to him about computers, I'm listening. Because I have no grasp of computers. We do different things on the computer. We've had a lot of computer trouble. This thing's been in the shop two or three times. I know absolutely nothing. Joel operates the computer. Wayne's operates the computer. We have a part-time secretary that's efficient on the computer. And I haven't tried to learn anything. I don't intend to learn anything. And sometimes we're like that. We just kind of are in some kind of a holding pattern. You know, it occurred to me if this week I was just thinking about some things. If what we're doing is not making for success, we need to change what we're doing. It's amazing that you can identify your struggle and realize nothing has changed. Prayer has not been answered. To realize that God always answers prayer, that when we ask and receive, we seek and find. When we knock, the door is open unto us. If we're not receiving, we need to do a spiritual inventory and make some changes. You know, basically we're status quo people. People as a whole would rather do the same thing that they are doing, even though it's not bringing them a measure of success, even though it's not the answer. It's easy if you talk to them to see, and they see that it's not the solution, but they don't want to change. Well, when you work with the Holy Ghost, you work with God the Father and Jesus the Son. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to identify and change. One time God said to me, I must illuminate. And so I always expect that illumination. I expect bright light. And I know the bright light is not to just improve my vision. It's not just to add to my knowledge or my repertoire of facts and data. Sometimes sick people are always sick people because they don't change. They don't realize I've been sick too long. Been in distress too long, been uptight too long, been struggling too long. This is not working. You know, we're a little hesitant to say that because it doesn't sound like faith. But you can say that after a year, 5 years, 10 years. If it's not working, you need to say so. And if you can't figure it out, you know, there's helpers in the body of Christ. There's men and women of perception. And if they don't know, they'll pray. I had such an experience myself. I couldn't figure that out. Save your life. I tried and tried and tried. I prayed. I stood. I mean, don't hold fast and go under. So I finally picked somebody with perception of the Holy Ghost, explained the dilemma to them and said, now it's not working. And they said, I don't know. I don't have any idea. I can see it's not working. I'll pray. They said, you know, this is it. The minute they said that, I thought, that is it, isn't it? Well, now I got to change. You know, you can keep batting your head against that brick wall. No, you need to back up and say, hey, you know that wall's not moving. So we either got to back up and find a door through that wall, a window, or a bulldozer. I mean, if the wall's in the way, the wall's got to go. If the wall hadn't moved and you're still standing where you were standing, you need to back up. Well, thank God for the mind of the Holy Ghost. He knows what's happening. I'm so glad He knows. You know, He's not trying to keep it from me. He's not trying to torture me and torment me. And say, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. Like little kids do, you know, sometimes adults too. Husbands and wives especially, in some kind of she won't tell him. You know, if somebody'd speak first and identify the problem, we could work it out. I was waiting on him to do my nails. I was reading an article by a marriage counselor, and he was talking about a particular situation that he counseled. Thank God for help. Now, he wasn't Holy Ghost help, but he was help to this particular couple. And the man had lost his job. She married him because her father and grandfather had been particularly unstable, and he was very, very stable, had a job and a career. And that really threw her a curve because she had been raised in instability and she couldn't function. And she said the cutest thing. You know, you need to be honest. You just need to be honest. And when the counselor talked to her about it, he said she's very short-tempered. She says, I can't be nice but so long. I love honesty. She's just as honest. And she hollered at him because he left the washing and wearing the dryer. Well, the counselor, in talking to him, realized that he hated his job. He wasn't sad to lose that job. He never did like that job. He didn't realize that the direction that he had been proceeding for all those years and the career he had been pursuing was not to his liking. And one day the counselor said, in talking to him, you know, you hated that job. And he admitted that he did. And he was a piddler, you know, one of these guys that's all the time tearing something up. I know those type people. We won't identify any particular person. But I used to say for years, do not, anybody at Christmas, do not buy your daddy Severs. He comes from a farm family, and he still has a basic plow it under mentality, you know. If it can come down, please plow it under, be removed. He's into that. I said, don't buy daddy anything that cuts anything, moves anything, trims anything. Because he has that kind of mentality. You know, you do bring your background with you. Well, thank God, the greatest helper in the world is the Holy Ghost, and He's the one who will teach you, He's the one who will inform you, He's the one who will give you wisdom. You know, if I'm going through life at 100 miles an hour, I won't hear a thing. And then I'll be the first to say, I don't know why God hadn't. You know, I've asked Him. And we blame it off on God. It's a good thing God is omnipotent, isn't it? He'd collapse under the load that we've poured on Him. Well, verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you how many things? Now, that doesn't mean He's going to tell you about me. You can mind your own business. People's already tried that. He's going to teach you all things that you need to know that are pertinent so you can walk under the full covenant of redemption, so that you understand the word of the living God and can share that covenant with others, so that you can accomplish the task and function under the gift that's given to you. But some things are just none of your business. You know, you have to overcome. You have to walk in the Word. You have to put your feet in the footprints that the Holy Ghost lays out for you. And He knows you. He knows your personality. Jesus said He didn't yield to the Jews, the Pharisees, because He knew them. He's not trying to undermine me or destroy me. He's trying to teach me. He's trying to tell me. If you don't understand God, and you don't understand the devil, and you don't understand yourself, you can't walk successfully in life. And when it talks about we wear the belt of truth, the weapons of our warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, that truth is the truth about God, the truth about the devil, and the truth about me. You know, and we do endeavor, though maybe not too successfully, to not pour into the people we teach what's just our personality and the way we function. Now, we have strong scripture for mind your own business. That's not strictly my personality. Paul told them to mind their own business. It's always a good idea to make sure you're the appointed vessel who should ask the questions and offer to help. Well, thank God the Holy Ghost knows you, and He wants you to know yourself. Why? So you can change. Now, I'm not one of these people that's opposed to change. I know some of them. Don't move anything. Don't touch anything. I was asked by a lady to go talk to her grandmother. Very, very ill. Lived in another city quite some distance. And I said, I'll go. Grandma was in her 90s. But I was talking to the maid. And she had a housekeeper and a nurse and so forth because of her infirmities. And she had had surgery, was recovering quite well, and lived for some time after that. I did find out she used to go to church in the horse and buggy. But it was hot in there. And I said to the maid, "You know, it's very hot in here. Let's open these windows." And she said, this is a quote, "We ain't heisted those windows as long as I've worked here." And I found out she'd worked there 40 years. I did. I asked. She'd worked there for over 40 years. Well, I said, "Well, we ain't heisting them today then." Well, it's all right if you can't move your sofa. But if you can't shift your heart, you're in trouble. And sometimes if we can't move our sofa, we can't shift our heart. Sometimes natural things and spiritual things are lined up on the same railroad track. Sometimes I'm telling you they parallel. Well, thank God. You know, that's a point of strong confession when you look in the mirror in the morning and say, "I can do anything God tells me to do. I will do anything God tells me to do. When He speaks to me, I will change. I will shift." Have you ever felt impressed of the Lord to go apologize to somebody? Take you. A week to 10 days or less. I mean, I remember thinking on that, thinking, "Phew, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I am going to do this. I am going to do this. I am. I am. I am." Have you ever had to talk yourself into obedience? You know, and the longer you postpone it, it seems like, "Hi, how are you? It's good to see you." You know, 10 minutes later, you're saying, "Go ahead, say it. Say it! Say it!" And you've got lockjaw. You know, we need to be open. The Old Testament says God knows our frame. We are but dust. You're just dust like the rest of us. You know what happens to dust in the wind? It blows. And it doesn't always blow in the right direction. And sometimes we blow in the wrong direction. You need to be quick to say. You know, sing that old song. You probably didn't, but we used to sing that old song. "Not my brother, not my sister, it's just me, oh Lord." Now, what are we going to do when it's not my fault? You ever been there? You just know it's not your fault. You know, I say all the time, and I speak by faith. I say, if I need to repent, I will. If this is my fault, I'll say so. Because saying so is not easy. I'd rather you come and say so. Well, what if it isn't your fault? You know, you can hang around till Jesus comes, waiting for the other guy to apologize. Have you noticed He's not coming? I can't give you any firm statistics, but I've already figured out He's not coming. The person who's strong in the Lord, the one who knows God, the one who wants their heart clear with God, the one who wants health and healing, is the one who says, "I am so sorry we had this disagreement." I never said, "I'm so sorry I was wrong," but I went right to them and said, "I'm so sorry we had this disagreement. I was sorry we had disagreement." And go on to say, "Is there anything I can do to make amends, to straighten this out?" And the one who walks with God, not necessarily the one in error. You know, in a marriage, we're waiting for the other guy. To come crawling in. We want them real humble. Come slithering in. You know, love is demonstrated. I'm talking about walking in health. You don't do some of these things, your health will not spring forth speedily. The Old Testament says it should spring forth speedily. And if you need help to change, you need to grab somebody. Now, don't grab somebody that's weak in the Lord, that has to be supported themselves. Amen. I have seen that too many times, the weak and the weak. The blind leading the blind. Both of them fall into a ditch. Don't even tell them what your struggle is. You'll think maybe you can't solve it, and they'll convince you absolutely positively you're going under. Find you somebody strong in the Lord and get some help, Holy Ghost help. Well, the greatest helper is the teacher. First, you've got to know what the teacher is saying. What's he saying about the Word? See, we've got to have some knowledge. We've got to have some insight of the Word. We've got to have some insight of my own life and how I'm responding or not responding to the word. I got to know some things. If I don't walk with God, I'm going to suffer in my physical body a lot of sickness and diseases simply because somebody is not doing what God said to do. Now, not all of it, but a tremendous percentage. You know, there are two things that'll kill you, ignorance and meanness. I read that in a book. I think that's absolutely profound. You know, once you apologize, nobody hangs that on your head. God doesn't hang that on your head. No man condemns you, and you don't condemn yourself. You have apologized. You have repented. You've been forgiven. It is over. Don't re-apologize. You ever done that? Yeah. Oh, I can't believe I said that. I said, oh, God, please forgive me. And that's the 25th time you've asked him. Don't do that. That's doubt and unbelief. He said if you'd confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. What's the purpose of confessing your sins? You want to be well. You want to be healthy. I'm going to show you some scripture in a minute, but sin will cause you to die young. Well, you know what I know? If you're going to go, go in glory.
Amen.
The Lord said to me one time, not an oh my golly, but a grand finale. I don't believe in those oh my gollies. I believe in those grand finales. And I put my faith out. Our family is all elderly. Wayne and I are young in our family. Now, Wayne's family is very, very large, and we got plenty of young people, you understand. But there are so many people older than we that we are still at mid-age. No finer example of people that walk in integrity, that walk before their God. And I noticed when sickness and disease came upon them, they all got well. But you know, the psalmist says integrity will preserve the upright. Heart clean and clear before God, and he raised them up. He'll do that. Not every time, but he will certainly do that. I've watched him do that. People that thought God might heal him weren't absolutely sure. Well, how are you going to find out the word that you need that would change you? You know, if any lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God. Not ask of mama, not ask of a friend, not ask of the pastor. You know, sometimes they don't know. In fact, usually they don't know. Ask of God who gives liberally. That means he has plenty to say to you if your heart's open to that. I'm not sure he would say it to you if he can see that you're not going to do anything with it, you're not going to change, you're not going to adjust. I won't say that he wouldn't. But it seems so unlikely that God would speak to somebody who's hard-hearted and is going to turn up their nose. No, I'd practice. I say, God, whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. Whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. Whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. Lifelong habits. We've done them so long, and it's just second nature to us. I mean, that's, we think. I've had people say to me, that's just the way I am. And I said, well, you am wrong. I said it in great love. I said it as nice as I could. I said, you am wrong. Well, he's going to teach you, and he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. Thank God. The only way you're going to walk successfully in this life is if you know what God knows, not what God knows about the world, what God knows about the word and about me. Though life is corporate, life is also individual. And my stand before God is as an individual. And Wayne Cumby didn't save me, couldn't save me, and he can't heal me. I've got to make some adjustments. He can't change me. Have you discovered you can't change your mate? Have you figured that out? You know, we have to remind one another. You know, I asked him, was he like that when you married him? Yeah. I said, then you can forget it. You knew that. You didn't go in blind, deaf, dumb, and stupid. You knew that. I've taught my children, I'm going to holler at you, is that all right? If it's not illegal or immoral, we're going to forget it. You know, we make a big deal out of little deals. Like, I can't stand that when he crunches ice. It drives me crazy. And you'd say so, wouldn't you? If you're going to do that, go and sit in the study. You know, that kind of attitude will interfere with health and healing. Faith works by love, and love promotes health and healing every single time. I mean every single time. Medical Technology has figured this out, that people who are bitter and complain all the time are bound to have, more likely to have arthritis than people who aren't bitter and don't complain. And that's strictly medical. Technology has nothing to do with Holy Ghost revelation. They've just figured it out. Now, it's not always the case. I'll let you off the hook. I've known complainers that thought they were loving and kind. Didn't know that they were always uptight, strung out, and critical. My, we need revelation, don't we? We're going to change. We're going to change. We're going to change. I've had people ask me, why did this happen to me? I know years ago our children were in an automobile accident. They were going to school. Joel was a senior. Suzanne's a junior. They're very close in age. And that bothered me. Suzanne was in the hospital 6, 7, 8 days, very ill. And Joel was in 24 hours. He left his skull print in the dash. They were hit by a motorized crane at an intersection. Well, that bothered me. You know, I felt like I should have known that. I mean, I wouldn't know. I kept saying, Lord, why'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Why'd that? You can ask 10 other people, but they don't know. And it's not them God wants to talk to about you. Now, thank God he will tell Pastor if he can see you're not going to get it. You know, if Pastor tells me first, you know what I know about me? I wasn't listening to God because I just know I'm the first person God wants to talk to about me. I know that. I mean, I know that. I bugged God and bugged God about that. I said, why'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Why'd that happen? I can't believe that happened. Why'd that happen? You know, I pray, I read, I study, I let God know, you know, where I stood. And then I remembered going under that intersection, not once, but twice. It dawned on me. That's what you meant. I drove under that very intersection, and I heard these words in my spirit, and they're both together. I thought, time, see what that is. And I went about my business. Didn't ever do it. Well, several weeks later even, under the same intersection, those same words, I heard them. And they were both together. And I thought, oh yeah, I was going to pray about that. I didn't have time. Teaching 3 classes a week. And almost caused their death. But when I called, you know, it's amazing how you do. I went to my phone to dial somebody, dial the church and get me some help, and to find Wayne at the office. Wayne goes to work very early, and I just dialed a number. I didn't look up any number. I didn't have anybody in mind. I didn't know what I was doing. I just went ding, 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 ding. And this voice said, hello, Becky? And I said, yes. Told him what I wanted. I mean, before I told them what I wanted, they said, I've been on my knees praying for your children since early this morning. Now, see, the God wanted me to know that, even though he couldn't get through to me. Now, look at John chapter 9. Let me show you some couple things in the scripture. To walk with God in the light of his word, the songwriter said, what glory he sheds on our way. You know that's true. Wouldn't you rather have glory? Oh, amen. John chapter 5. Here's a man that's sick. Been sick 38 years, that's in verse 5. Now, you know, if you've been sick 38 years, I can just tell you there are things God said to you, I don't even have to ask him, that you didn't hear. That's a long time. Now, this man probably didn't have access to the knowledge that we have. Thank God we have access to knowledge, and we know people who have knowledge. Well, Jesus brought health and healing to him. Verse 9, immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And they talked to him, and they asked him who healed him. And who told him to carry his bed? Well, verse 13, he that was healed wist not who it was. That means he didn't get healed on his faith because he didn't even know Jesus. Didn't have any idea who healed him. So it wasn't faith, it was a gift of the Spirit. Just a gift. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Jesus said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more. Lest a worse thing come upon thee. Now let me ask you, in this man's case, what had caused the disease? Sin. Now you know, without me telling you, God would not ignore you for 38 years, seeing that your mistake was costing your life, and not inform you. You can just know that because you know God. Some things you don't have to look up. You don't have to have a reference for. You know God. You know how He functions, how He thinks. 38 years. Now what's going to happen if he goes back to sin? Now look at Deuteronomy 28. You see, sin will cost you. The wages of sin is death. Well, that's spiritual death, but spiritual death is always accompanied by physical death and sickness and disease. In Deuteronomy 28, we have the curse. The curse is spiritual death, sickness, and poverty, if we summarized it. Verse 15, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, what is the problem? It says, if you will not hearken, you can't hearken unto something you ain't heard. That means they did hear. It says, if you will not hearken. And when you hear from God, it says, they refuse to observe and to do. To observe is to see, to understand and perceive. It said, if you will not, then the curse is going to come upon you. Now, God did not send the curse. What caused the curse? Disobedience and sin. It's like if it's pouring down rain out there. If I've got on my raincoat and my rain boots and my umbrella up, I'm not going to get wet. But if I take my umbrella down and my raincoat off, I'm going to get wet. And it's the same here. Sin didn't sneak up on Adam. He said to Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you will die. God is a God who always points us to the path of change. Why? So we can hear from heaven. So we can obey. You know, if you don't know how to do something that you need to do, you have to have instruction. What kind of God would it be to know there's only one pathway of success? He says, as broad's the gate to destruction, narrow is the way. That there's a very narrow way, and he doesn't tell you how to get through that way. So he's a God that rescues, a God that delivers. He's a God that illuminates, that enlightens. He's a God in 1 John that says he wanted us to be in fellowship. So you know what he said? God is light. There's no darkness in him. Now walk in the light. Well, then I have to know, where's the light? Who knows? Holy Ghost. Who's going to teach me the Holy Ghost? Who am I going to ask my questions to? Well, this curse, God warned them. See, he's warning them. You know there's a curse out there? See, Satan was in the world. He was an anointed cherub. He fell from heaven. He was cast out of heaven. Jesus said he fell as lightning to the ground. The curse is here because Satan is here. The curse was there even when they obeyed. But they had their umbrella up, see? They're walking in the light of God, walking under the commands of God. Now, when you cut a covenant, a blood covenant, you slit your wrist and we rub our blood together, as was done in ancient times and in some countries, some primitive countries yet today. A covenant that's sealed by blood was an indestructible covenant. It cannot be changed. It is an eternal covenant. That's why the covenant that Jesus came to cut for us was cut with his own blood. That makes it eternal. Amen. It was an eternal covenant, and anybody that broke that covenant was put to death, and even your own mother would kill you if you broke the covenant. Well, always with that covenant was blessing and cursing. And when the covenant was cut and the blood was shed, some primitive countries, they shed blood in a glass of wine, and then you take a drink of wine, I take a drink of wine. Makes us blood brothers, makes us partakers of this agreement, of this same covenant. Well, when that covenant was cut, they always had somebody pronounce blessing. And somebody over here would pronounce the curses, somebody appointed. If you broke the covenant, all of these curses, they wanted you to know what was out there. What disaster and destruction was available if you didn't walk under the covenant. Now we have that. You want to see that? In the scripture. Look at Deuteronomy 27. Verse 11. Moses charged the people the same day, saying, when you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar, Joseph and Benjamin, those are the tribes that are going to stand on this particular mountain and pronounce all the blessing. These shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse. These are the tribes that are going to make you aware of all the curses. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. There was somebody to say, this is what good things are going to happen. And somebody say, if you don't do this, this is what bad things are going to happen. Now that's what you see in Deuteronomy 28. It's just God telling you, this is what the blessings that are come upon you that will overtake you. If you walk with me, if you heed my word, if you hear my commandments. One of those blessings is health and healing. By the same token, if I refuse to hear and hearken, in other words, I just not going to walk in love. I know most everybody's been there where they're mad and they just right now they're going to be mad and they're not going to repent maybe tomorrow. I had one lady tell me, so cute. She was offended, I believe, by a neighbor. Whatever it was, they had some kind of dilemma. And she said her first thought was, you know, the scripture says not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Wonder how long till sundown. She told me, she figured, I got 6 hours to get over this. I loved it. She's going to practice the word. She's having a little difficulty, a little struggle. She's insulted. She's hurt. But she knows God. And she knows health and healing and the blessings of God come to the obedient. Blessings are for the obedient. Now, not every sickness and disease is because of sin. But some are. Now, this man was born blind. The disciples, assuming it must have been the prevalent theology of the day, there had to be sin. With every sickness is a sin. You can see that that was their thinking. They said to Jesus, verse 2, Master, who did sin? I love that. Shift the blame. Jesus answered, what? Neither. This man's blindness had nothing to do with his personal sin. You see, sicknesses and diseases in the world because of Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, he opened the door to the devil, gave the devil authority, and when the devil comes, he always brings into our life sickness and disease. Turn to the 91st Psalm, let me show you that. See, God is light, there's no darkness in him. Well, where is the darkness? It's in Satan. And it doesn't matter if I hollered at my children, knocked them down, ran over them, or threw myself across some counter at a department store and gave them a piece of my mind. I like what one body said, you better keep all the pieces of your mind that you've got. You'll need them. You know, kindness is kindness. Now let me show you verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walks where? Where is the pestilence? Where is the plague? Where is the disease? What happens if you get over in the darkness? You know, and it's going to be too dark to put out your barriers and defenses against disease. You may not have gotten over there through sickness and disease. You might have been mean, ugly, and unkind. But there you are in the dark, and while you're mean, ugly, and unkind, wandering around in the dark, everything else that's in the dark is going to come to you. The pestilence walks in the darkness. What's in the darkness? Pestilence. Now let me prove that to you in 1 Timothy. Give you a couple other scriptures before we quit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. You know, if it's dark in your house, you can't just decide I'm going to hit the corner of the coffee table, but I'm not going to run into the sofa. I'm going to get out in the darkness here, but this is all the darkness I'm going to have. This is all the sin I'm going to have. No, there's no telling what you'll run into. You won't even be able to identify it. You think, what in the world was that? You have to flip on the light to see where you were and what jumped out. One man told me, he's talking about his wife. Well, he said, boy, he never went in his house and sat down without looking behind him. He said, my wife moves everything. He said, you understand that? I said, yes, I believe so. Oh, I like to move things myself. And unfortunately, I'm not a visionary where I can actually see that the thing I'm going to move is actually going to be able to remain in that location. I have to move it there and say, that won't do. Move it back. Therefore, it's very difficult to get cooperation. So, see, it's really good to move things. You ought to go home and move something. Move something in the natural just to prove to God you to move something in the spirit. The two are very much akin, I'm telling you. So I went out and got me some furniture glides. Do you know about furniture glides? I saw a man cleaning carpet move this huge piece. He put out these little squares this big under this huge thing, slid it with one hand. I was so awestruck. We're going to have to change. If you're going to walk in health and healing, you're going to have to walk with God. You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. You're going to have to hear from heaven. You're going to have revelation of the Word. You're going to have to order your footsteps in the path of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to know Him. If you don't know Him, it's because you've not taken time to sit and meditate in the Word and to wait on the Lord, because He is the ambassador who brings us the Word of the Father. And He does dwell in you. And if you take time with Him, you know Him. And if you know Him, you know His voice. You know, Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice." So many times we say, "I don't know if that's God or not." You will never hear me say that. I'm going to say, "You know, I'm His sheep. I know His voice."
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to say it till I see it, till I'm sure, till I'm secure. I'm not moving till I know. Amen. My mama didn't raise any fools. But I know God. He said, "Call those things that be not as though they were." And I call for what I need. And what I need is security to know the voice that I've heard. Is that the voice of God? No other voice do I follow. And I'm going to say it right in the middle of the more I doubt, the more I say it, the louder I holler it. Why? Because you ever made the wrong change? The wrong shift? The wrong move? Well, the other day, Wayne called from the office and he wanted to borrow my furniture glide to shift the file cabinets. You know, and I think they're, you know, that's one of my favorite possessions is my furniture slides. And I was going to loan them to the office to move the file cabinets. They wanted to move them without unloading them, see, which you can do. Now, I'm not making this up. You go to the carpet store and buy you a set. And if you're one who never moves anything, go and get a set today and move something. I couldn't find my furniture slides. Wayne said he thought we loaned them to somebody. I couldn't hardly believe that. I just thought, shh. And then he talked about it so long, I thought, well, seems like I did. Maybe I did loan them to somebody. So I remembered, he said it was somebody that was standing in the sunroom. That means they were at our house. Well, our house is basically inhabited by us. We have very few people come through. And so I thought, well, it wouldn't have been my mother. It's not Wayne's mother. I thought Sister So-and-so was here. I called her. I said, "Have you seen my furniture slides?" And she'd know what I was talking about. I said, "Okay, never mind. You haven't seen them." I called Susan. I said, "If I ask you if you'd seen my furniture slides, would you know what I was talking about?" And then I called my sister. I said, "Call me back. I'm looking for my furniture slides. I can't find them." I couldn't find them anywhere. I was getting so distressed. Now I'm uptight. I was making radio programs, and the anointing lifted. I got so strung out, so uptight, so separated from the love of God, I had to wait and do it the next day. I mean, it was awful. My furniture slides were gone. Do you know, I finally found them where I left them. Yeah, it was really disappointing. You know, if you need to repent, you just need to repent. Now we try to hide the truth. You know, somebody said, "You find your furniture slides." We don't want to admit. And I remember they came in a big box, and I thought, who needs this big box? I took them out of the big box. When I found them, I realized the reason I couldn't find them is I'm looking for the big box. But I threw the big box out because I didn't have room for the big box, and I put them in the little box in with the paint buckets. Now, who's at fault? Now, who's at fault because you're in distress? Who's at fault because you're in distress?
Amen.
Who's got to change?
Amen.
Let's read two scriptures before we quit. Aren't we having fun? Body exercise profits little. If you've done any exercise, you know, just profits a little bit. Basically, it hurts all over. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness, walking with God, acting like God, walking in the Word, following the Spirit is profitable to how many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
You know, when the devil comes to my life, you know, all I have to do is say, "Let me tell you one thing, I'm walking with God. And if I've made any mistake, I'm going to repent. And you'll have to get out of here." I can run him off with this verse of scripture. I said, Miss Ashley's learned a new song at school. They've been learning this whole bunch of songs about the devil. She goes to Christian school. I wish I may capture it to sing it for you, but I don't know the tune. But anyway, it's about taking the devil and pushing him in. And then you hang him out to dry. And she says, "And you know what you do when you hang him out to dry, Mima?" I said, "No." She says, "You say, hee hee, hee hee." And she's only this high, you know, she's fixing to have her sixth birthday this week. "Hee hee, hee hee." She says, "Now you say that, Mima." She goes, "Hee hee, hee hee, hee hee, hee hee. She said, you push him in the river and you hang him on the line and you say, hee hee. You need to know that. But if you're walking in the dark, your hee hee isn't going to profit you. You know the prodigal son, you remember him? Out into a foreign country. You know, he came to himself. I love that scripture. He came to himself. It dawned on him. This is not working. I have not even eaten. I don't have as much as the pigs have. Everybody at Dad's house got plenty of food, even the servant. Now, he could have stayed over in the foreign country. There's nothing in the darkness there but lack of food, famine. Had no friends. Even the boss didn't come out and see if he was being fed. He's just concerned about the pigs, send the food to the pigs. He said, I'm headed home. You know, that's what we need to do if things aren't working. We need to say, which is the road home? Holy Ghost, say the teacher, the guide into truth. You remember Daniel Boone? You know why they used Daniel Boone? Because they couldn't get through the wilderness without him. He knew the way. And if you don't pay, you know, somebody said, you say too much about the Holy Ghost. No, I'm just saying what God said. It's expedient. He's saying, you really need him. And I found out I really need him. Can't figure things out by myself. But I just lean on him. I say now. Do you know it promises us a door of escape? 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation taken you such as is common to man. God is faithful, will not suffer to be tempted above you, or able and will with temptation. Provide a way of escape. But you know, stand up against that brick wall, you ain't going to see the way of escape. Prodigal son did. He took inventory and he said, shh, this is not working. I'm headed home. Well, I may not know how to get home from where I'm at. I've made a couple big mistakes. I don't know about you. We won't talk about them. I never take out from under the blood. Leave it under there. Don't take it out for display. Leave it hidden. A man of God said that to me one time. I never thought about it. Something happened. He didn't know, and I couldn't believe he didn't know it. Everybody knew it. It's a rumor around, you know, at our church then, the grapevine. It was all everywhere. Everybody knew that, but the minister didn't know it. And I said, how come you didn't know that? Everybody knew that. He says, because that person had repented, and God never takes anything out from under the blood and displays it. Well, what are we going to do? You know, the Holy Ghost is the best furniture glider in the world. Holy Ghost gliders. And it's so easy when you yield to him. You have those furniture glides. I mean, I put my thing with all the books and everything. That thing must weigh hundreds of pounds. Put it on those little squares, four of them, and shoved it. Won't work on wood, though. Don't get your hopes up. It ruins wood. Works on tile and carpet. Just tell you before you go get any. Well, you see, godliness is profitable to all things. How many things does it profit?
All.
How many things?
All.
Shoo. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3. Let me show you another one. 1 Peter 3, verse 9, we'll start with, so we get a running start here. Well, we should read verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. In other words, we're agreeable. We're easily entreated. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, or be loving to the brethren. The translators say, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are there to call, that you should inherit a blessing. You see, a man that doesn't sow a blessing is not likely to reap a blessing. You reap mercy because you sow mercy. You reap love because you sow love. And you reap blessing because you're one who blesses people. And it says, how do you bless them? Be kind, be courteous, be loving, be compassionate, be agreeable. Then it says, verse 10, this is based upon all of those things. For he that would love life and see good days. What kind of days? You ever had a wonderful case of the flu? My, that was great. I loved it. Spent my whole afternoon in the bathroom. That was wonderful. You'd think the way people talk that sickness was a blessing. They said, oh, you'll never know how many people I won to the Lord. I wanted to say, if you could have doubled that number. Why wait till you get sick? Just go up the hospital, knock on the door. Say, I'm here to pray for people. Would you like prayer? You know people will let you do that. If the hospital will let you do that. I don't want to get you in any big trouble. and win them to the Lord. While you're on your feet, while you're in good health, see, walk with the Lord. Win your neighbor, win your friend. So I can't do all things, but I can do some things. Thank God I can do some things. Well, do what you can do. Okay, he that will love life and see good days, let him what? Refrain his tongue from evil, his lips they speak no guile. In other words, if my tongue, if I'm blabbermouth and I say anything I want to and I'm critical and I murmur and complain all the time, it's going to interfere with, it's going to cause disease and sickness and ill health. You see that, don't you? Now, this is a quote from the 34th Psalm, and let's finish and let me show you the 34th Psalm. Because I like this 34th Psalm. It's in verse 12. You know, just every now and then, God begins to deal with me about making a correction or a change. And I found out it's a great... You know, I do understand the scripture says no chastening for the present's joyous. But I also found out if I just hear and obey, that I'm going to be farther down the road after this is over. Yeah. It's going to be so much profit and so much farther, so much more at peace, so much more full of joy if I just hear and heed. Well, here's this quote. The verse we read in 1 Peter is a quote from here. What man is he that desires life and loves what? Many days that he may see. Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. It not only says good days, but it says what? Many. Do you want many good days?
Yes.
Do you want many good days?
Yes.
You want many good days?
Yes.
You want health and healing?
Yes.
You'll have to make some changes.
Yes.
Now, I know there's always in every group somebody that's absolutely perfect doesn't need to make any changes. I know that. You know, I do know there are times maybe I do need to make some changes, but God's just not going to speak to me right yet. You know, if I go before God and he doesn't say anything to me, then go on with life. No, God knows how to communicate. He's not hard of hearing. He knows your heart's open to change. He knows you want to walk right. He knows that you have information now that your walk with God is going to affect your health. It is. And you can run the devil off and just say, no, look. We already know a lady that did that. She and her mother-in-law had a big tiff. They weren't speaking. The little baby, medical science had given them every medicine available, and there's no help for her. The medicines should have taken effect, but they didn't. And a very wise minister of God said, if you and your mother-in-law would make this up, if you'd repent, then you could go in and speak to the devil and say, I'm walking in love, you'll have to leave. And that's exactly what she did. She repented to her mother-in-law, got things settled, went right into that baby's bedroom in the middle of a seizure and said, devil, you have to leave. I'm walking in love now. See, it wasn't her faith that was keeping the baby from being healed. She did believe Jesus was a healer. She did have faith. She was confident in his healing power. But her faith was inoperative because she wasn't walking right. And if I'm not walking right, there's no healing for me. Well, that's why when God speaks to me, I want to be quick to obey. Why? Because I want to get past this bend in the road, don't you?
Yes.
He that will love life and see many days that he may see good, what you say could cause you ill health. Well, we covered this lesson every now and then over the last few couple years we've been here. We've said this before. It's not new to those who've been around, but we have to keep repeating it. You know why? Because we forget. That's why we repeat it. So we're going to leave here what? To hear and to obey.
Yes.
Where'd the curse come from?
Disobedience.
So if I've been disobedient, I'm like the prodigal. I say, I'm headed home.
Amen.
It's amazing to me. Most people in trouble run from God, run from his people, run from his house. When here's where help is. Nobody's going to bail you out but God. Nobody can forgive you like he can. Nobody can set your house in order like he can. Run for him. Run right into his arms and say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I said the wrong thing. I was critical. I was upset. I murmured. I complained. I was not full of joy. I lost my peace.